wash water all year. Don't ask me to carry an oily rag like that. Okay, welcome. My name's John Hansen, and I'll be the MC for the session today. Friday afternoon or lunchtime, I think the last three ICASPs, I walked around at about 5 to 6 o'clock on Friday and took pictures of all the poster sessions, and the sessions that always had packed people at the very, very end all involved speech and language processing. So people in the speech and language area are always dedicated to kind of stay to the very end. So thank you very much for coming today. So I'm just going to introduce our speakers that we have today. First, just a couple of words about the Speech and Language Technical Committee. Most of you obviously know that when you look at ICASP, ICASP is made up of 13 technical committees. The Speech and Language TC is the largest. There's 53 members there. There's a reason for the large membership. It's because we have a very, very large number of papers that get submitted to ICASP. So historically, we've had somewhere in the neighborhood of about 700 papers. It may look as though speech has dropped a little bit over the last couple of years, but that's because we have a separate concentration area 14 that focuses on language processing, and that's been increasing in a very significant way. So these are the paper trends that you can kind of see in each of the areas, and roughly about a quarter of all the papers that get submitted and accepted to ICASP are in the speech and language processing field. And so in discussing how we might be able to cover the 700 submissions and the 340 or so papers in 30 minutes, we thought we could probably just read the session titles, and that would take 30 minutes by itself. But we decided not to do that. Okay, so it's my pleasure to introduce our speakers. First, Junlin Fang from AT&T will be giving part of the overview. Bumina from IBM will also be giving part, and Jason Williams, who was not able to attend, also provided input here. So we're going to have two folks kind of give overviews. We encourage questions, although we're going to have to kind of try to cover the material here, and I'll try to make sure that we get the microphone around. So I think Junlin will be going first. Okay.
I'll be very quick. So if anything, if anything I said wrong or I missed anything important to worth mentioning, please, so when we come to the QA section, just come up and point those out. Because there's over 300 papers, it's really hard to go through all of them and summarize, because certain field I personally don't know, publisher doesn't know either. this is. You know, thank you, people. A couple of session chairs I talked to try to get the overall view. So among the 325 papers, 83 of them are on speech and 75 on the language processing, according to how the conference assigned them to different sessions, because it's arguable. Certain papers can be across both. So the orange part I will cover, and then I will hand it over to Pana. The orange part, including language processing and speech processing, but not TTS and the speech. And then I will cover the speaker ID, including speech speaker verification, recognition, and speaker diarization. And probably I will touch the speech analysis enhancement too, and a little bit ASR. And so this is the language modeling. On the right top of the chart, it shows the number of papers on the big field of the language processing. So a couple of things worth mentioning here is the first one is the language model. Model M is exponential model, the class-based, and the neural network model, language model, long-span models, and the dynamic language model adaptation, discriminating models. And I think there are many others, just a couple. And as I see, over goes through the papers, so what's common in there. There are several papers on computing optimization, trying to do, you know, how to train a language model on large scale data. So distributed training, fast neural network language model training, how to manage the long span. There's a common data set that people work on. And spoken document processing, here the task you try to do the document summarization, classification, speaker role identification. You look at approaches are the typical machine learning, LDA, CRF, and other machine learning classification algorithms. And the translation and the semantic classification, there's two sessions, trial papers on this topic, including query understanding and voice search. Although different papers probably use different terms, but it's all focused on how to use query logs and how to understand the queries for search. And the language, there's one paper using the DBN, probably I think I used lots of papers on DBN, how to use DBN language understanding. This is for call routing. Speech translation covers saying how you can tie up the speech recognition and the translation together, whether ASR or word accuracy is not, probably is not a good metric for speech translation. The bilingual audio subtitle extraction, there's many others I think I probably didn't not list all of them. Paralinguistic and non-linguistic features, these are very interesting because you could think is what you can infer from speech language. The emotion detection, recognizing a lexical yes or no, the cognitive load classification is trying to try to guess when you talk to the computer trying to guess, you know, how much you are thinking. The perceptual difference of phonemes, this is for language learning, visual speech synthesis, generating avatar facial expressions. It's all on this huge topic. Some of them are pretty new. Spoken term recognition is trying to, you know, given the huge speech files or audio files or video, trying to return your list of spoken utterances, giving your voice query, voice term, which you just speak. The approaches are dynamic warping, subword recognition, retrieval, and graph-based approaches. There's a common data set from NIST. And the dialogue. We don't have for this conference, and there's only five papers. Well, I can put them into dialogue. But overall, the trend is before, you know, if you look back a couple of years ago, probably there are not many approaches on statistical approach. Now is most papers focus on the statistical approach. There are two parts. One is you track a distribution of all the possible states. The second part is the reinforcement learning. If you put both together, become PalmDP. I think there are several papers on the conference on PalmDP. There's advances also specifically, so I will not go through those. Language identification, there are six papers in one session, basically trying to use phonetic and prosodic features, a combination of them, and to do that, to identify the language. If you look at the approach, how to do it, it's, they use a classification. I see a couple of papers on logistic regression and grams. There's a common data set, and those are also singing data set, which is for this trying to guess the language, what we're using. Lexical modeling is trying to use the machine learning, try to automatically generate the pronunciation from the given word. The G2B, there is a couple of machine learning and CRF approaches introducing that. Multilingual and multi-channel processing, the task here is you have a mixed language input, how you do the ASR, multilingual index and search, and the multi-microphone meeting setup. The approach is very diversified, so I did not list them all here. Speech analysis, this is a field I really don't know much, so I'm just trying to cover what topics that work on emotion detection. On sentence level, you're trying to, a couple of papers are trying to consider the relationship between emotion and F0 range. Emotion, you know, including detected anger and so on and so forth. And duration modeling for larger vocabularies, ASR, pitch frequency estimation, and so on. The approaches, I see, you know, a couple of things probably not new, but it's common across papers. Singularity exponents, CRF, face locked loops, and there is a common data set on that. As I said, this is a field I don't know much, so if the session chairs or who knows this field better, please comment on what's missing here that I didn't cover. Speech enhancement. The task here is trying to separate the speech versus non-speech noise. You can read the slides, but there's, I think, compared to previous conferences, it's a little bit more emphasis on music noise. There's many approaches here. You know, some of them are continuing tuning the well-known approaches like Wiener filtering, improved comma filtering, GFCC. Have a long list here. I think I don't have time to go through them all. And speaker verification. We have overall there's 48 papers on this topic, including speaker diarization. And but I think it's way more than previous conferences. Probably one of the reason. I don't know whether it's relevant to the NIST speech recognition evaluation. but looking through the papers, there's a couple of things to just highlight. I think it's very diverse. It's hard to summarize. The I-vector space and probabilistic LDA and the evaluation papers from NIST are they all use the fusion, you know, system fusion. You build several speaker recognition systems. You fuse the results. Okay, so I can move on here. Speaker diarization is inferred who spoke when in the audio stream or meeting. Their approaches, which is the session I listened to, is top-down bottom clustering, how to explore features beyond acoustic features. There's a binary keys approach. There's information bottleneck-based approaches. A couple approaches quite new, at least for me, on this field. Robust ASR, again, this there's lots of papers here. I certainly will miss something. So I put them into several categories. The first one, signal processing. And signal processing, there is a compressive sensing, but you can use a compressive sensing on the other parts of robust ASR too. Non-active metric factorization, how to use a wavelet to transform the spectrum. And then there are other approaches. I have give a long list here. There's features, how to, I mean, lots of features, exploration based on tandem. There's also a couple of papers how to use DBN to generate the tandem features. Feature sequence mapping and noise feature normalization. There's all kinds of different models. There's quite a diverse collection, so I don't think I will read them. Maybe after this, I can put a slide somewhere if anyone wants to take a look. Given that, I will hand it over to Buona.
So I'll try to cover, can everyone hear me? Okay. So I'll try to cover all of the papers that were generally included in large vocabulary speech recognition and acoustic modeling and adaptation techniques. Clearly, there were a lot of papers you can see in the ASR land. So we tried to split it in a manner that matched well with the session. So let's first start with adaptation. The problem here is basically to say how well can you adapt your existing models to a specific speaker or environment. And the most recent trend we've been seeing is how can you enforce sparsity or structure on the transforms we have learned, and how can you do better optimization. Now, in general, the ideas that have been floating around in this field include discriminative transforms. How can you define something that will learn rapidly or rapidly adapt to minimal amounts of data? And now you see these things adapted to more real-world tasks, such as a voice search, and you're starting to see some impact from all of these techniques in these new tasks. We did see some focus now on rapid adaptation for, like I said, real-world tasks, and how you can include convex optimization methods in situations where your objective function is not convex anymore. If you want to read more about these papers, I've listed the relevant section here. Oh, it's not a good idea, John. Okay, we have a small problem here. So moving on to modeling. Now, ASR modeling was split across many, many sessions. Basically, we're all talking about statistical modeling of speech signals here. The more recent trends have been along the lines of how can I use machine learning techniques in large vocabulary speech recognition. We all know they work on certain class of problems like in vision and handwriting recognition, which are equally difficult but work off smaller data sets. So we're now looking to see how we can apply and extend these techniques to speech problems. And along with that comes the task of speeding up these learning algorithms to deal with large quantities of data. And again, here we saw more applications to real-world tasks, and including DARPA evaluations. Generally, this slide captures some of the ideas we saw. Most of you are familiar with these things. I list some of the key components here where we saw some papers on capturing long-range context, critically more use of posteriors directly in either an HMM framework or in other forms of decoding. How can you use the posteriors derived from classifiers intelligently? Maybe we're using them in deep belief nets, or maybe we're using them directly in the HMM framework. How can you intelligently pick acoustic units, whether it's for English or any other form of language? And do you have enough data now to pick these acoustic units which didn't work before? Also, we've seen some papers that use language ID, accent, and dialect identification in incorporating them to improve speech recognition accuracy. So you see a bunch of areas people are working on. We've also seen some recent interesting work on loss functions and boosting methodologies that improve the quality of the classifiers or the learners in acoustic models. This was particularly relevant in the section titled Modeling for ASR. Moving on, there were two more sessions which covered acoustic modeling, miscellaneous topics, and statistical methods. These still fall under the category of general ASR-type problems. There were some more ideas here which include complex models, which include long-span both language modeling and acoustic modeling techniques. We see some applications of CRFs. We saw multiple stream combinations. More focus on using posteriors as some sort of an event detector and figuring out how to model these posteriors. A few papers that were a derivation from the Johns Hopkins workshop, which is held every summer, focused on how you can use some of these posteriors in some sort of a segmental framework. More recently, if you see what the trend is, we see a lot of novelty in sparse representations, exemplar-based methods, how you can capture higher-order statistics using deep belief networks. You have point process models. How can you capture spectrotemporal patterns? So we're seeing a wide range of novelty here in this field. Continuing on in modeling, which was also included in discriminative techniques for ASR, the focus here was mostly on how can I use discriminative training for both acoustic models as well as for adaptation. We saw some papers on training full covariance models. We also saw, if you break it down into specifics, we saw some feature selection versus better regularization in your model parameters that was interesting. And people also presented different kinds of training criteria. Do you use an objective function that models your word error rate, or do you use an objective function that models something else related to the likelihood or the error in some computer in some other fashion? The last session that I'll cover on ASR was titled Large Vocabulary Speech Recognition. The focus here was mostly on building large systems for the Gale evaluation in different languages, and there were also a few large systems that were built on real-world tasks. Some of the key ideas here are how can you exploit large quantities of unlabeled data under the class of unsupervised training? How do you use better methods for lattice-based training? We also saw recipes, the best performing techniques and algorithms for building acoustic and language models, and typically what worked and didn't work in tasks like Mandarin and Arabic, which were part of the Gale evaluation. Also, system combination strategies played an important role. We also saw methods to do unit selection, particularly in languages like Korean and Polish. We saw some methods to improve the quality of transcripts when you don't have manually transcribed data, how you can improve the performance of your acoustic models or the training by getting better transcripts. There was some work on improved decoding schemes to better optimize memory consumption and to make things go faster. And we saw a large presence of deep belief networks all over the place. We're still in ASR. We saw lots of papers on acoustic modeling also. This, you can break it down into a couple of areas. one which includes alternative features for HMMs in addition to traditional MFCCs and PLPs, and the other in the modeling paradigms itself. We saw a lot of papers here starting from phone recognition to LVCSR. A particular few things to point out, we saw energy-based features, a lot of articulatory trajectories. How can you include non-stationary features, tone and pitch for certain languages? We saw some efficient parameter estimation that captures phonetic variability. Clearly, I'm not capturing everything in every session, but these are sort of to get you motivated to look at general trends and ideas and bring in ideas from other fields that will perhaps help acoustic modeling better. We did see a lot of log linear models, full covariance models, and particularly this time we saw some work on overlap speech detection and non-audible murmur detection, which is useful in situations such as monitoring in a public domain. The relevant sessions are acoustic modeling 1 and 2. There were 4 sessions on speech synthesis, so this is just a very brief summary on speech synthesis. We saw a focus on, well, there are 2 categories in synthesis, HMM-based and concatenative unit selection-based DTS. A bunch of the work on HMM-based synthesis focused mainly on the underlying parameterization and reconstruction, and that included work on excitation modeling, how you can incorporate this technology in embedded systems. Also, impact of machine translation, meaning the number of errors the translation system makes and the fluency of the output, the impact that has on speech synthesis. Parameter tying, like better parameter estimation for HMM synthesis was also there. In the concatenative section, we saw work on prosody prediction, how you can do better prosody prediction, how you can do better annotation of pitch accents. We also saw new constraints being introduced for unit selection in concatenative TTS systems. And there were all the relevant sessions are listed here. There were also a few posters on in the machine learning section for speech and audio applications that covered synthesis. So that's basically a broad overview I have for ASR and synthesis.
So I know... You've now seen over 300 papers in 30 minutes. And I know it may feel like a fire hose has just hit you. I'd like to see if we could try to generate a few questions from folks. I will say that the Speech Language TC, we do put out a newsletter. And if any of you have authored or co-authored a paper in the speech area in this ICAST, we did this last year. We took all of the email addresses from all authors of papers in the speech and language area and have added that to our newsletter email list. So you'll get a regular copy of the newsletter from our TC, and we will include links to kind of download these slides if you'd like to get a copy of these. Okay. So can I see if there are any questions here? Hear that, or you're going to have to make me do a song and dance. Rick. And maybe if I could have the speakers, do you want to come up here?
No, don't get up for me.
Don't get up?
Three or four years ago, the Speech Technical Committee kind of reorganized itself to attract more text, spoken language.
Wait a minute, spoken language, not pure text.
Right, spoken language related, but text processing methods to spoken language processing, to try and sort of attract those papers from, you know, the ACM conferences that they were generally going to. How's that going? In other words, what's the impact been on submissions to transactions and to ICASP and things like that?
Well, I did put the slide up there, but if you want to...
Well, I mean, are there more of those papers, a significantly more percentage of the papers that would have gone to ACM conferences coming here? Or?
So I think we had roughly about 110 papers in spoken language submitted this year. It's been sitting the last 2 or 3 years roughly anywhere from about 80 to a little over 100, and we accept roughly, you know, the average 46%, 42%, 48% of the papers. Clearly some of the work that is presented in the spoken language side also go to the ACM side, but it brings in more folks from that community, so to speak. I guess I would also say that in the Speech Technical Committee meeting we had on Wednesday, the updates or trends from the transactions, the number of papers submitted in spoken language has increased significantly. There's been a huge increase in the number of submissions, and the page count is actually overwhelmed. So if some of you have papers sitting in volume 99, you'll know what I mean. That's kind of a holding volume until we can kind of get more pages to kind of upload the papers. But yes, Rick, there's a lot of papers kind of coming in this area right now. Other questions? Yeah, you don't want to see me do a song and dance up here, so I need a question.
So I'm from the music signal processing area rather than speech, so the fire hose sort of washed all over me. So what should I pick out as somebody who's not really in speech very much? What are the big things that I should be aware of that's happening in this field next to mine?
So I guess I'm generalizing. I'm not sure if you'd like to respond. So at least from the speech side, I think when people are looking at diarization, there's a lot more work now in real data. And so looking at broadcast news, looking at realistic search in YouTube and videos and audio that's posted on the web, there's a lot more interplay between music and speech. There was at least one paper looking at speaker ID and language ID in multiple languages with people singing. And so this hadn't been the case in the past. Other ICASTs, but we've also seen in the morphing or transformation area, I saw, not in this conference, but in a previous ICASP, someone who took a music video of a hip-hop artist in English and morphed it into Spanish. And it sounded flawless, and this African-American clearly was hip-hopping in English and didn't know Spanish, but you couldn't tell. It was really good. So I think you're seeing a lot of movement now of some of the tools that have existed for speech recognition, speaker ID, diarization, and so forth, trying to address some of the challenges in music, because a lot of the more realistic data that folks are getting access to have music in it, and is becoming a big, big challenge. Actually, pitch tracking, this is in the speech analysis side, pitch tracking where there's music is a real tough thing to look at. And there are several folks that have been working in that area. So.
I just add a quick comment. I think I do see lots of people who are trying to remove music from the input signal.
So a couple of years back, one of the big challenges was the competing speaker problem, where you have one person walking on another person. Now it's music walking on someone else and being able to try and suppress that to try and do the recognition for translations of it. Question in the back. I've just got glasses. I think it's Frank, right?
Yeah. Adding some comments to the previous comments on this music signal processing and speech analysis, recognition, and synthesis. I do see, personally, actually, I view myself as a hardcore signal processor, so anything is processing. So regardless whether it's a speech or synthesis, actually at Microsoft Research Asia, and I do have quite a few colleagues, such as Professor Sagayama from Tokyo University, is more or less like working on in both domains, and we treat the music, either the instrumental music or vocal singing, as part of our own interests or application scenarios. And we do speech synthesis. We use TTS, the knowledge. Particularly these days, HMM has formed the core. And so not only just bridging the gap between the traditional unit concatenation or unit selection-based synthesis, but right now the HMM-based synthesis, or some people call the hybrid synthesis, but actually, in my opinion, it's really just putting the whole thing statistical and sample-based on the rendering as a holistic approach to the whole synthesis or rendering process. So we use TTS to do singing voice, not only the knowledge, and we just try to say, given the melody, given the recorded speech material, can we sing a song? Yes, we have done that, and not only us, and I think I saw quite a few people, quite a few researchers really working very diligently in that direction, and the polyphonic pitch tracking, which is I don't know whether it will be ever solved, but it's definitely posing a great academic challenge and interest to both the single processor, speech researcher, or music researchers, and the analysis or the recognition. Again, probably this is another confirmation, say the ASRU used to be just say recognition, then extended later to understanding, and Kai Yu yesterday in speech synthesis session made an advertisement say that don't ignore us, those speech synthesizers or speech synthesis researcher, because the whole understanding to close the speech chain, we do need a good, smart, expressive speech synthesis too. So to put a quick summary, I do see there's no boundary between the music and speech, and all the common tools, statistical modeling, the sample-based rendering, everything is really just merging with each other in kind of a seamless manner.
Thanks, Frank. So I think when you think about recognition, maybe a couple of years ago, the general perception is that since you can buy commercial-based speech recognition products in the field, that some people perceive that it's solved. But in fact, there's huge challenges, and I think the availability of much more realistic data in the field make recognition much more challenging today. And Frank's comment on the synthesis part is right on target. When you look at the general user population, when they use a dialogue system, studies have shown that the perception of how good the dialogue system is to a large extent related to the quality of the synthesized voice that you're interacting with. Hidden behind there is whether the recognition error rate is too high. You can kind of recover from a lot of that, obviously, by looking at other processing approaches. Other questions or comments? We have gone our 30 minutes, but shoot, we had over 300 papers here, so we should have some more questions and comments. So I would like to kind of make a pitch here also for the ASRU workshop. It's been nice and sunny this entire week, but today it's raining and maybe not as sunny. It's always sunny in Hawaii, and the weather is great there, and a great opportunity to come follow up on some of the topics that you may have seen at this conference. And everyone gets a little set of flowers that they can wear. So, other comments or questions? Well, if I'd like to make a last pitch, if you have interest in being involved in the Speech Language Technical Committee, please contact one of the members. There's over 50 members. If you get the newsletter, you'll find there's a number of topics that are current. If you are advertising for jobs or trying to recruit folks, there's an online jobs posting area there. Last newsletter, I put in a little chunk in there on what represents a grand challenge in the speech and language field. And I think there's been a lot of talk in terms of energy and healthcare as grand challenges. Speech and language has one of the most important aspects when you look at society and interacting with folks. Speech-to-speech translation, some of the big advancements in this area will allow people to communicate more efficiently and reduce barriers between people. So speech and language, very important, should represent at least one of the grand challenges out there. So if there are no more comments, I will close this session and thank the speakers here for their overviews.